It's good to be back. Time gets by very fast. You realize suddenly gray hairs are showing up on your head. You're getting older. I was told by Pastor Joe that it's 8 months since I was last here. Good to be back here, Pastor Joe. Thank you very much for this church, for your support in the last federal election. Really appreciate your backup and support for Taffy, who did a great job. Yeah. And also with me is Brother Anthony, who is our state president for our party. Give Anthony a hand, please. You should have seen him yesterday. He was shouting at home on the television because his son plays for the Western Force, rugby. So, we thank the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to speak about obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We see a story in the Bible of Abraham. God promises Abraham an amazing promise. He says, I'm going to increase your descendants like the stars in the sky and like the sand in the seashore. And then Sarah gets a baby. Abraham is 99. I have a 28-year-old son who is married. I have a 25-year-old daughter who is married. And after 15 years, we had our third child. And I felt like Abraham. But my wife refused to be Sarah. She said, we're only young, praise God. But Sarah, when God promised Abraham, Sarah laughed. Because it sounded so silly to think that at 99, a man could have a child. But isn't it interesting, in God's agenda, the unthinkable by man is done in Jesus' name. In other words, the impossible is made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to touch on that to say, I don't know what problem you're going through. Maybe spiritually you're barren. Maybe physically you're barren. Maybe materially you're barren. No matter what your barrenness is tonight, this morning, if you would trust the Lord Jesus, He will touch your barrenness and bring fruit out of that. In other words, you will be squeezed to the point that you think you can't do it anymore. At that point, you have to trust in the Lord. That's when God shows up. And some of you are going to go from this church today so encouraged, knowing that God is in control. So Abraham and Sarah have a child. Their name is Isaac. Then God shows up and tells Abraham, sacrifice your son. That was very interesting. How many of you think that Abraham told Sarah that he's going to sacrifice his son? Did he tell him? Did he tell her? He never told Sarah. Because he knew that Sarah will not have enough faith to believe with him that God can do a miracle. Sometimes some things are better not said until everyone is in that same wavelength. Or at least you are. For example, when the Lord reveals something to me, I have to be careful how I say this. Very often I don't tell my wife immediately. Because I want to be for sure that it is really from the Lord. You know, like, if you are not sure and you share it with someone and they throw doubt, imagine your faith is going to be crushed. But if you hear from God and then you pray and you get strong, then when the waves come and the storms hit you, you can keep standing, so that when you keep standing, the person who is with you will see your stand and they'll also believe and stand with you. And then one becomes two, two become three, two, three become four, and then there's a multitude of people believing in the vision. And I believe God is about to do something in Australia. So Abraham takes Isaac. He starts going up the mountain. Now, was he going with Isaac only, or was there a few other people with him? There were a few other people with Abraham and Isaac, some of his servants. Now, somewhere in the halfway on the journey, Abraham tells the servants, you guys just chill out here. I have a mission. I have something to be done. We will go and we will come back. See his language. He's already speaking faith. He was going to sacrifice Isaac. No question. But he's speaking faith. He's saying, we will go and we will come back. Some of you might be knowing of a friend or family member. Maybe some of you here might be going through a marriage crisis. Maybe going through a financial crisis. Maybe going through a physical crisis. Stop looking at the problem. Start looking at the answer. The longer you look at the problem, the deeper you get buried in the problem. The faster you put your eyes on the Lord, the quicker you come out of the pit you're in. For example, I got a call from a hospital. I get many calls from the hospital. And it's always an emergency because God has done some amazing things in Melbourne at the Monash Hospital. About half a dozen people over a period of 3 years were on life support and they were given a death sentence and they were going to turn off the life support. God has taken me in there and I spoke faith. The life support was turned off, but they lived, and they're living up to now. So much so, doctors from the hospital contact me and ask me there whether I can come and pray because they're going to turn off the life support. So recently I got a call. It was an Afghani Muslim family whose daughter has stage 4 cancer, and the doctors have given up. Thank God for doctors. But when we can't, we just got to trust in him. He comes through. And here's a Muslim family desperately in need, reaches out to a Christian pastor to come and pray for them. For half an hour, I witnessed to them about Jesus from the Bible and also from the Quran. Because I read the Quran and I lived in Saudi Arabia for a season. Do you know that the Quran speaks more about Jesus than Muhammad? Do you know that the Quran actually says that Jesus is the only man in the Quran who did miracles? The Quran says that Jesus is coming back to judge the world. But they have a little twister in there. Jesus was never crucified. So he never died and rose again, but he's coming to judge the world. Jesus is the only one who was born of a virgin. So when I talk to my Muslim friends, I act very dumb. And I say, can I ask you something? Is Jesus mentioned in the Quran? Oh, yes, yes, he's a prophet. I said, so was Muhammad born of a virgin? They'll say, no. I said, who was born of a virgin in the Quran? Even I'm not sure, they say. Was there anyone born? I said, yes, Jesus was born of a virgin. It's in the Quran. Then I say, who did the miracles? Did Muhammad do the miracles? No, no, no. Prophet Isa did. Okay. Who is coming to judge the world? By this time, they're asking questions about their own faith. And I say, Muhammad is not coming to judge the world. Jesus, according to your Quran, is coming to judge the world. Prophet Isa. Now, that's the Antichrist, by the way. But I tell them in such a way that I want to get them to Jesus. And then I ask them, so if that's true, why did God favored Jesus more than Muhammad? And I leave it there. People of God, the nations are looking for answers right now. Thousands of Muslims are turning to Jesus. Thousands. Let me tell you an interesting story. Impossible situations have been turned into glorious victories and testimonies. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country in the world. There are 210 million people living there. Take a guess. Approximately, what percentage do you think is now born again in Indonesia? Take a guess. So much? 2%. More. More. 10% more. approximately estimated by the churches in Indonesia currently, 35% of Indonesians are born again. You know, they have an evangelism outreach rally in the open park. They get 1 million people for the meeting. One of my friends, he was invited to go and pray for a Muslim man who was dying in hospital. He didn't know who this Muslim man was. He just went to pray. Young man, 28-year-old guy, my friend, he's an Indonesian pastor. He laid hands, he prayed for healing, and he left the place. 3 days later, he finds out something very interesting has happened. The man he prayed for was a senior most Islamic cleric for a particular sect of Islam called Ahmadiyya. He was given 72 hours to live. He got completely healed after this man prayed. Now that man, the next Friday, went to the mosque. When he went to the mosque, everyone was shocked that he's walking. He looks well. He's smiling. And he gets up and he shares his testimony. And he tells the people, I'm here to declare that I'm no longer a Muslim. I'm now a believer of Jesus. Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He says, Jesus met with me. He healed me. I'm going to serve him. Are you going to follow him too? 10,000 Muslims gave their lives to Jesus in a period of 3 weeks. The pastor then told me I had a big problem. I said, what? He said, they all found out about baptism. And suddenly I have hundreds and hundreds of Muslims who are born again coming and saying, we want to get baptized. So I said, how do you do it? He said, I told them to come on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to the river. They all came. At one time, I took 200 at a time. I told them to come into the water. They came into the water. I said, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, be baptized. Close your nose, duck in the water, and come out. So I baptized 200 at a time, and I baptized 10,000 people. Wow. Come on, let's give Jesus a clap offering. So Abraham is looking at a situation where Jesus, God has said, Abraham, sacrifice your son. In the natural, it's a disaster. But Abraham had such a relationship with God that he knew the hopeless situation will be turned into much hope because God is in control. I need to obey God. And we know the story when Abraham about to sacrifice his son, God stops him. And he says something like, God would have said something like, good on you, mate. I can trust you, boy. You are willing to lay down your son for me. Now pray, see what I'm going to do to you. And God blesses Abraham like crazy. But I like Abraham's statement. We will go, we will come. So I went into the hospital with the Muslim family. The whole family gave their lives to Jesus. Then I prayed this prayer with them. The girl is 21. I said, pray this together. We will celebrate my daughter's 25th birthday. We will celebrate my daughter's 40th birthday. We will celebrate my daughter's wedding anniversary. We will celebrate my daughter's wedding anniversary. We will thank God. We thank God for grandchildren. What a mighty God we serve. Do you know that in Melbourne there was a guy who took his car and went and killed so many people in Bourke Street? Remember that, what happened a few weeks ago? Do you know that he was a Muslim? The media never said it. But he was a convert to Islam. Now, two girls who were mowed down by the car, one of the girl's parents contacted me. And I went and prayed for her. She's unconscious. She's still unconscious. But they're still not turned their life support off. But there's hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Even right now, let's pray. Father, we pray for Amber. And the doctors are waiting to see what's going to happen. I thank you that you're going to bring her out live. She's not going to die. We pray for Saga Tula, the Muslim girl who's born again now. We thank you for her healing too in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So God that we serve, Jesus our Lord and Savior, can turn any impossible situation into victory. We just got to believe in him. Let's look at the story of Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 16, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 16, we see Elijah goes and prophesies over Ahab. He says, there's going to be no rain. There's going to be a drought. And then God says, now Elijah, go and hide. And then God says, I'm going to provide for you. He goes to a brook, he gets the water, ravens provide him with food. But then the brook runs dry. And Elijah is sort of looking at God and saying, what's going to happen to me now? You told me to prophesy, I have prophesied. Now I'm in trouble. God says, no, I have prepared a widow. She's going to provide for you. Go to her. Now see this, I'm not going to read through the verses, you go home and read it, but I'll tell you the story. I'm sure most of you know this. When Elijah came, he sees this widow doing something. He stops her and he says something like, madam, can you get something for me to eat? I'm very hungry. Just picture this. The widow should have turned around and looked at Elijah. Oh, now you're coming to me to get you fed? You are the cause of this drought. We are all in big trouble because of you. And by the way, Jezebel is looking for you. And now you're coming to me. You're going to get me into trouble too? This is what we would have said, right? But the woman says, she's desperate. She says, hold on, mate. You're asking me for a piece of bread or cake? I don't have anything in my house. All what I have is a little bit of flour. I'm about to cook something for me and my son. We're going to eat that and we're going to die. What was in that house that day? Death was lingering in that house. But God sends his prophet to bring life in the situation of death. That's why we need the prophetic voice in Australia. In a dry and barren land, we need a prophetic voice speaking out and saying, it's not over. Australia is coming to Jesus. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient for you. Trust in me and see what I can do in your nation. God is looking for a voice which will come in that hour when everything is hopeless, when there's death staring at your face, when the economy is crashing. Things are going right now quite well, but I'll tell you what, watch what's going to happen to the nation. We have not seen anything like what's going to happen. Death was looming in that house. Elijah comes and says, make me a piece of cake. The woman says, I can't make you a piece of cake, mate. You're off your head. We are about to have the last piece and die. He says, that's okay. I understand. But he says, go, make it anyway. And bring me the first piece. Just think of that. This man is speaking life. That woman is thinking, I'm going to die. How many of you here are prophets of doom or prophets of hope? We are called to change situations. In a work scenario, maybe you have a boss who is a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman. Or you have a husband or a wife who is grumpy. Or you have a pastor. No, I mean, he's good. Are you going to start gossiping about that person, pulling that person down, cursing that person? Or are you going to say, thank you, Lord, that you have put that person to test my character? Once a guy went and prayed and said, God, I get angry all the time. Can you please take this anger off me? God said, yeah, sure, I will. The next day he went to work. The same guy who irritated him even more. So he got so mad. He went to God and said, I told you to take this anger off me. God said, how do you know whether I've taken it out or not if I don't let you go through the testing? You've got to face the testing to know that you can overcome. Church, every hopeless situation can be turned into hope. You have the life because Jesus has given you life. So Elijah brings life into the widow's life. She brings the bread and there's enough supply forever in that house. Then we see Elisha. In other words, the widow was squeezed to the max. Elisha, a woman comes up to Elisha and says, one of the prophets who served with you, my husband, he's dead. I'm a widow. The people who are, we are in debt. They're coming to take my sons as slaves to work for them. Please help me. It's hopeless in a situation. Elisha says, Madam, what do you have at home? She thinks, she says, a little bit of oil. She says, good. Go and gather every possible vessel in the town. She didn't ask any questions. You might be in that place. You might be saying, Pastor, what can I do? Who am I? When the Lord told me that He is going to give me Australia as an inheritance, that I was called to spearhead a campaign across Australia, you know what I told the Lord? I looked in the mirror and I said, Lord, look at my skin color. It's not going to work. Because my big fat brain was trying to tell me what I can do. But the Lord told me, no, son, it's not your skin color. It's me who is going to do the job. Do you love this nation? Do you love the people of this nation? I said, Lord, I love them only when I don't. When I'm playing cricket, I don't very much love them. So I'm joking. I said, Lord, give me a heart to love the people. Honestly, I was very new to Australia, and I was not sure how much I loved Australia. The Lord said, before you could do anything else, take 3 months of time to fast and pray and ask for this nation. People of God, for 3 months, I went into fasting and praying. And the Lord has given me a love for the nation of Australia. I can't believe it. My people who come from Sri Lanka tell me, we're shocked. You don't love Sri Lanka, you love Australia. I said, yes, this is my country. This is my home. I love this nation. I will die for Australia to see Australia come to Jesus. And so when our hearts are turned into that right position, we align ourselves to receive a blessing from God. But when we have to move forward, it's always like, Lord, what do we have? Elisha, I have only a little bit of oil. He says, go get every vessel in the town. The woman should have been thinking, what is this guy talking about? I'm selling him a little bit of oil. He's saying, go get every vessel in the town. She gets everything. She starts pouring that little bit of oil. And it does not stop. It just keeps pouring out of the jar. Every vessel is filled. She sells it. And she pays the debts. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Today you might be in a place where you might be saying, I've not given my tithes, I've not given my offerings to church because I need to pay my debts. Wrong number. Bring what's of the Lord to the Lord and see the Lord will bless you to pay your debts. God is a God who works in a very different way to the way the man thinks. Man says, have enough and then give. God says, don't have enough and give. See what I'll give you in return. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Can I hear a big hallelujah? We see the woman with the issue of blood. She was at the point of death. 12 years of bleeding. All the money is gone. All the doctors have said, no hope. What happens to her? In her desperate state, she cries out to God. Touches Jesus' garment. She's healed. The boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everyone is there. 5,000 people are there. They're asking, does anyone have any food? No one is responding. This boy should have been thinking, the little I have, if I give, it's not going to feed these people. I'm also going to go hungry. Rather, I better keep this with me. No, he says, Master, what is mine is yours. Are you willing to say that today? Master, what is mine is yours. Master, my family is yours. Master, my wealth is yours. Master, my health is yours. Master, my house is yours. Master, my church is yours. Master, my nation is yours. And see what God can do. The boy gives it to the master and he says, Master, what is mine is yours. Everyone is blessed. And there's 12 baskets remaining. Aren't we blessed to have Donald Trump as president of the USA? Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering. I'm amazed at what God is going to do through this man because God has an amazing plan for the world through this one man. pray for him. Because the enemy is all out to attack him. Let me tell you a nice true life story, what happened in my life. It was 1998. I just come out of Saudi Arabia in 1997, called Australia home. God had called me to represent the underground church to the US Congress. And in an encounter that I had with Jesus, if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a seat. You are seated, why should I be standing? No, I just have a bit of a... I'm too short to get on this. Okay. Feel like I'm in the barber salon. Massage my head. So the Lord said to me, you'll be a voice for the persecuted church in the U.S. government. I said, Lord, me? Me to be a voice to the U.S. government? He showed me the White House. He said, you'll speak here. He said, show me the Congress, Capitol Hill. He said, you'll speak here. He showed me the National Security Council. He said, you'll speak here. He showed me the U.S. State Department. He said, you'll speak here. He showed me the British Parliament. He said, you'll speak here. Once he said all that, I told him, Jesus, maybe you don't know that I have very low self-esteem. My father was an alcoholic. I cannot speak in a Western nation. They'll never listen to me. I had very low self-esteem. But Jesus said, son, I'm not after your ability. I'm only after your availability. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. He's not after your money. He's not after your qualifications. He's after your availability. If you are available, he can use you. So I was representing the church to the U.S. Congress. So within 6 months, God opened doors. I spoke in the British Parliament, in the U.S. Congress, White House, National Security Council, U.S. State Department, Australian Parliament, and God was just working up something amazing. We started working on a legislation to protect the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia with the U.S. Congress. Okay? I was praying, Lord, how is this going to happen? It's almost like Bill Clinton was the president at that time. He's not a Christian. Thank God Hillary Clinton did not get elected. It would have been a disaster if she became a president of the U.S. Abortion would have skyrocketed. Homosexual marriage would have just gone crazy. Things would have turned around really bad for the whole world. Anyway, what happens? July 1998, my phone rings. There's a voice on the other side from Saudi Arabia. My friend is crying on the other side. I said, what happened? Now, we had to use code language to talk because his telephone lines are tapped. He says, 31 students in trouble, meaning 31 pastors are in prison. What did they do? These pastors, they took 600 New Testament Bibles in Arabic, the Jesus video in Arabic, put it into 600 packs, and they did early morning distribution. What they did was, they went to 600 Saudi homes and they hung it on their doorknobs before 6 o'clock in the morning, so that when they wake up, they'll open and get this and they can hear the word of God. But the last place when they were hanging it on the doorknob, unfortunately the Saudi man was awake. He opened the door. The two Filipino brothers who did that ran and got into their car. This guy took the car registration number. And 31 of them were arrested. Now, when you get arrested distributing Bibles in Saudi Arabia, guess what's your punishment? They pleaded with me, can you go to the U.S. and do something about this? I said, I will do anything I can do. So that 2 days later, I was on a plane, arrived in Washington, D.C. And I told the Congress, I said, this is what's happened. We need help. They said, let's see what we can do. I'm cutting a long story short. We were trying to get an appointment with Bill Clinton. He was not happy. Situation was hopeless. 31 people, 29 were from third world countries, 2 were from the West. 1 American, 1 Dutch. The rest of the 29 were Filipinos and Indians. All of them would have got executed for what they did. I started praying, Lord, help us. We are desperate. I was with Pat Robertson on the television show. All the television, CNN, everyone was interviewing me. But Bill Clinton said he will not get involved in this because it's too sensitive. Guess what God did? Who do you think was the answer to this problem? Solve the problem. It was Monica Lewinsky. How many of you remember that name? Tell me if you remember the name, Monica Lewinsky. Well, Monica Lewinsky was Bill Clinton's secret catch. And just at that time, this got exposed. Guess who was the people who exposed it? It was the Christian congressmen who are known as the Capitol Hill Christian Mafia. Bill Clinton, in order to make them feel happy, he said, what can I do to help you get those Christians out of prison? Can you see how people change? God can work in mysterious ways. Bill Clinton, who said, I will have nothing to do with this. They deserve it. It's their law. If they broke the law in Saudi Arabia, let them pay the price. Suddenly, Monica Lewinsky gets exposed. Bill Clinton calls one of the congressmen and he says, I need your help. He says, we need your help too. What can I do for you? He's asking now. He says, we have 31 Christians in prison to be executed in the next month. You need to get them out. Guess what happened? All 31 were released from prison and sent back to their homes. We serve a God of miracles. Who ever thought that Donald Trump will get elected as president of the USA? No one thought. Every media outlet said he's not going to get elected. But God has an agenda. I want to tell you, we are in a revolution right now. A revolution for the good, not for the bad. We had Britain breaking out of the European Union, Brexit. You heard about that? Yeah? And the Brexit, every media outlet said it's not going to happen. But it happened. Donald Trump, every media outlet said he's never be elected. He's a nutcase. That's what they said. He's mad. But they were sad because he got elected. And he's given the media a new name. What's the new name? Fake media. I love it. I so love it. Every time he calls it fake media, I go, yeah, that's so true. The world is getting into a place of change. Do you know that Donald Trump, in Melbourne recently, four Americans died in a plane crash? Yeah, you heard that? Donald Trump publicly prayed for those four Americans on national television. Recently, he made a statement. He said, to run America and to lead the world, I need Jesus as never before. I need God on my side. Please pray for me. How awesome is that? Now we see Holland is about to change. Gerd Wilders is there. France is about to change. Australia is about to change. How many of you know this year, 31st October, is a very special day for Australia? 31st October this year marks 100 years since the Aussie Light Horse Brigade, along with the New Zealanders, with the Kiwis, went against 32,000 Muslim Ottoman Turk soldiers who were occupying Israel. 800 lost light horsemen charged against 32,000 gunmen. And they won. And they recaptured the wells of Beersheba. 31st October marks 100 years. I don't know, anyone here who has been to Israel? He must have had a dream, Taffy. Well, I'm taking this is my third trip to Israel. In 2010, I took 60 people. In 2012, I took 75. This October, I'm taking another 75 people to Israel. All the information is available. I've spoken to Pastor. If you want a copy of the document with all the information, come along and see what God will do in Israel. We are going to Beersheba. Guess who we are going to be with? There's a special commemoration service taking place on the 31st of October 2017 in Beersheba for the Light Horsemen. Donald Trump is going to be there. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is going to be there. And Malcolm Turnbull of Australia is going to be there. Someone told me it might be Tony Abbott instead of Malcolm Turnbull who will be there. So let's hope for the best. But church, Christianity is not just another religion. Jesus is not another religion. Jesus is real. And I want you not to treat Christianity as another religion. I want you to ask God, God, what is my role? What is my role? Every one of you have a part to play. Don't let the pastor do the job alone. I always look for opportunities. Every opportunity that I can turn a natural situation into a supernatural move of God brings people to Jesus. Brings people to Jesus. So the challenge is yours. We can turn these nations, which are upside down, right side up. But God is looking for a Shadrach, Meshach, and an Abednego. God is looking for a Daniel. God is looking for a David. God is looking for an Esther. God is looking for an Elijah. God is looking for a Joseph in the 21st century. Would you be that person? Would you be that person who will say, Lord, here I am. Don't think, Lord, who am I? God can do mighty things through you. One man can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. You are a powerful weapon in the sight of God. How many of you believe that you are an ambassador of Jesus? Have you ever thought of an ambassador? The Australian ambassador in England, all of Australia backs him. So if you are an ambassador of Jesus, all of heaven backs us. So no weapon formed against us can prosper. For he that is in us is greater than the one in the world. When the enemy comes like a flood, God will rise up a standard. Don't look at the problem. Look at Jesus, the answer. I want to close with this. Paul and Silas in prison. You know the story. They were badly beaten up. They were stripped naked for preaching the gospel, for healing the sick. Good things they had done. Now they are thrown in the inner cells, which is the worst criminals are thrown in. They are in chains. Paul and Silas should have been whinging and saying something like, oh God, see what you have done. We were doing such good things for you and you have put us in prison now. Yeah. No. They were worshiping the Lord. I think they were singing something like, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He put us in chains. He took our clothes off. He beat us all over. But we will still praise his name. Amen. I think they were just worshiping the Lord. They didn't look at the problem. They looked at Jesus, the answer. And when they were singing and worshiping the Lord, I think it would have gone something like this. Jesus would have said, come on, Gabriel. Michael, I can hear some uncommon worship coming from them there. Can you check it out? Yeah, God, Jesus, Paul and Silas are worshiping you. They've been beaten, but they're worshiping you. Okay, Jesus gets very excited and he starts tapping his leg. And there was an earthquake. No, I'm joking. You're serious, eh? You thought really he tapped his leg. But there was an earthquake. And the prison doors open, the chains come off, they are free. Not only they were free, everyone in the prison were free. When one Christian breaks into freedom, everyone around them also breaks into freedom. Because we are the light of the world. If we don't let our light shine, no one has hope. So church, we are a hope giver. We are people who bring hope to people. Let's let our light shine. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. God bless you. Thank you.